We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
The Derrick Rose injury was what, 8 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Taj's draft was 10 years ago, so 09.
At the beginning of the decade, we're at the end of the decade. And the idea that you can pick and choose through quantum theory your number of alternate universes that fit what you think, had this not happened, we might have been this, therefore these guys are good at their job. This idea that, well, I talked to other general managers and they don't say we're doing it wrong. Why would they? Hey, you know you're doing it wrong.
I am?
Yeah, you should do this, this, and this. Oh, thanks. They're competing against you.
Am I doing it right?
Yeah. You're on it.
Nailed it.
You're going great. Still, the reason why is the Derrick Rose injury. That's not valid.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We are going to be joined by Vincent Goodwill, Yahoo's senior NBA writer who was behind the scenes at the draft lottery here in Chicago. He is going to be with us at 10. We'll do the midday midway at 10:40. Vincent, at 11, we're going to replay much of what John Paxson said with Mully and Haw. Cap space!
We got it. Nailed it. Cap space.
Cap space. How cap about space it? And giveaways, another shot at $1,000 cash, and we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see the Chicago Wolves play in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals at Allstate Arena on Friday night. It should be a fun Friday night of hard hockey. For playoff and ticket information, visit chicagowolves.com. 312-644-6767. That's the number at WSCR, The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text? You can, 67011. When you do that, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Free Zion.
I was listening on the app yesterday when I heard Danny Parkins come out of the 3 o'clock rejoin with his brilliant idea of telling if they get Zion Williams and telling him he can't wear number one
if they get him
because Derrick Rose wore it even though it's not retired.
That's right, young man.
I had to call in.
You called?
Oh, I had to. I had to call and scream at him.
Hey, this is Dan.
Dan in Elmwood
from
Park.
Avondale. Listen, I'm just driving around that. Like you're in the grocery store adopting a pastry as your... Oh, no. So I'm going to have the cherry pie, actually, that one. And another thing, Danny.
By the way, Parkins. We had a lot of fun yesterday, dude. I could not help myself.
What did you bring up that nobody'd been talking about?
Here's something nobody's been talking about.
I've been a Bulls fan since 1929.
Everybody's been talking about the GM. What about the owner? You ever hear the phrase that the fish stinks from the head down? That's what I'm talking about. I think they're gonna kick him out of Holland for having a bad sports thought.
Danny?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do that.
He's going to get there. He's going to get to customs, and they're going to look at his passport, and they're just going to remand him.
They're very restricted. Very open. You know, no prior restraint except for bad sports thoughts
in
Holland.
He's going to be imprisoned for bad sports thoughts, I think, and he's going to be kept away from the precious juice. Where was I? Download the radio.com app. You stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. You can watch us. The video feed directed by Brian Gerch at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the Executioner, Ray Diaz are the producers. But look, we're here for you today. I don't know what to say. I wish I had some magic words to assuage this feeling of being a Bulls fan. But what do we watch for? I get it that when people go to the games, people watch the game and you hear the fans cheer because there's no context. They've removed each home game from context. And if they win, they win. You leave and then you go home and it doesn't matter. It's not connected to anything because apparently people have just forgotten what we do here with the Bulls, forgotten about the parades and the long summers of basketball and championships and trophies and all that. And it's not there anymore.
No, I think fans have assigned somewhat of a different value to Bulls games at this point. But there are those who are, you know, as many as you read about who had dinner with Jim Boylan or have met with ownership and have, you know, been persuaded to renew their season tickets or be a part of that experience over the next year. There were a lot. I talked to some yesterday that were ready to re-up tickets if the ping pong balls bounce the right way, which is, when you think about it, what that really is a reinforcement of the Bulls experience. Like, just a little bit more luck and we're willing to forego the last 10 years of what this franchise has been and the fact that they've kind of been ramming their head up against the wall over and over. Just a couple of lucky bounces and we're back in, ready to spend because Zion's a transcendent player or what have you. I think too, you know, some of the plan, which we applauded at the time, the trade for Otto Porter, this understanding, this acquiescence to, we're not getting a franchise, but we're not getting one of the top 5-7 free agents on the market.
Might as well commit our cap space to this guy.
We're not doing this. We're not getting somebody like this. So Otto Porter Jr., here we go. We'll book up this cap space here, save some, you know, because we went from 4 to 7 in the draft, and then we'll just play it that way. Some of that banks on the fact that the Eastern Conference doesn't have LeBron anymore. If you had to bet, though, wouldn't you bet on either Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving or perhaps even Anthony Davis? Would you bet on any one of those superstars and perhaps more going back to the Eastern Conference next season?
Yes, because of the LeBron void. It's more inviting that way.
Right. So
they know that too.
Now you empower two or three more teams with Giannis. Maybe Kawhi stays, maybe he doesn't. Who knows? Maybe you drop one out of the Eastern Conference that way. But that's about, from my perspective, that half of the NBA is about to get tougher, not easier.
There is a lot of reaction coming in, as is to be expected, some via email here, where Rudy says, the cap space comment had me hitting my head against the wall, considering a month ago when Paxton said they didn't have cap space because they signed Otto Porter, or traded for him. So I get that one would like to spin positively about not getting a top pick, but that's like having your feet chopped off and saying, well, at least I don't have to buy shoes. And this is Tom at Edgebrook, who says, just like in the Divine Comedy, the path out of NBA purgatory is led by human reason, not fortune. None of the four teams remaining were built around players of those teams selected out of the top five. Only one first overall selection is playing right now, and it's Andrew Bogut. What those four teams do have in common was being forward-thinking, identifying undervalued potential, and taking risks. When was the last time anyone in the Bulls front office could be described this way? Until the Bulls find their own Virgil to guide them out, they'll never reach the mountaintop.
And identifying a stratagem that changed the NBA over the last 4 years.
And then hiring a coach that actively tried to work against what's working in the NBA.
Yeah, that's
with
a problem.
Fewer possessions and fewer threes and slowing things down. And you needed an organizational intervention to convince a head coach in the NBA that three is worth more than two.
Yeah, I think looking at the Bucks who are in the Eastern Conference Finals is an interesting way of going about it and identifying or kind of relating the Bulls to that experience. You got lucky with a superstar player late in the draft. You took a chance on a guy and he's developed into an MVP. That's awesome. But in order to get to where they are now, they have also had to rework the organization from the head coach down and find a system with Mike Budenholzer that actually employs the things that Giannis is good at while surrounding him with shooters who can hit corner threes, the likes of Brogdon and Mirotic. I mean, they had to do those things as well. It wasn't just luck into the guy in the 13th or 14th or 15th or 16th pick. It wasn't just maybe get a generational player late in the draft out of luck. It was also adapt to the things that the NBA has all decided are things that win you championships.
After an update, we will grab phone calls.
The fourth pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the Los Angeles Lakers. The third pick goes to the New York Knicks. The second pick will be made by the Memphis Grizzlies. And that means that the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yep.
So it's been a rough one, rough night of basketball last night. I don't know. Did you? I fell asleep. I was forced to sleep by the game last night, the Blazers Warriors thing in the third. It forced me to fall asleep. I think it was a sugar crash after the NBA draft lottery had happened. The Lakers, who you just heard, had a 2.8% chance of landing that fourth pick. The Knicks had a 12.7% chance of ended up in the third pick. The Grizzlies had a 6.3% chance at the second, and the Pelicans a 6% chance.
What does that tell you about the efforts by the NBA to disincentivize tanking?
I don't know if they killed tanking last night, but they certainly dropped the first blow, right? I mean, that felt like...
The percentages are still the percentages, though.
That's true.
Just because these came up, you still want a higher percentage chance.
The Pelicans tanked. Right. They tanked to the proper part of the lottery where the value was improved the best by the new odds. If you look at them down the stretch, they went 3-13 last 16 games, 6-16 last 22. And they were better before that. Part of that was the weird Anthony Davis stuff. But
they're saying don't play.
Yeah, right? There was a lot of stuff going on there. So there were teams that were absolutely manipulating the middle part of the lottery, which was the unintended consequence that was thought was going to happen from Jump Street. Maybe not teams that are going for an 8 spot that are then going to try and get in the lottery, but teams that would have been 10, 11, 12 trying to get down to 6, 7, 8, 9 because that's where the value is. So the tanking's still there.
I think you're absolutely right, which is why I think the NBA got what they wanted out of this. They killed unless you're looking at it from that perspective and really looking at the numbers, they killed the perception of tanking. Whether it's That's what they wanted to end. Fans yelling about their guys not playing and not traveling and rest days and load management and all that stuff. They're able to now point to something that makes it look as though tanking is less valuable now than ever. When in reality, it's what Rick said. It's that you can tank.
Teams will still
and
tank.
And move your percentages.
Saginaw, Michigan, and Bobby on Sports Radio 670. Good morning, Bobby.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Like most Bulls fans, I definitely, allowed myself to hope that they would get themselves Zion or even Ja Morant last night. But the reality is the Bulls don't deserve either of those players. And Garpax, the organization that they've run, they deserve to be right where they are, which is basketball hell with a bunch of average players led by this schmuck try-hard coach, Jim Boylan. And Dan, I just a couple of comments. One, you hit on it yesterday. This still annoys me so much that they convinced themselves, Garpax, in this alternate universe of perfect health, that they were going to beat LeBron in the Heat, which is just such nonsense. We saw it happen. It was not. I hate that they still talk about how they got unlucky with their health. They were never beating that team. And then, look, here's the thing: when they traded for Otto Porter, they, Paxton said, oh, well, we're not getting anybody in free agency. And for, a minute, I actually thought, wow, look at them. They actually can read their fitting in the NBA. They don't have a chance at a star. But what are they doing to address that, man? Like, I'm 28 years old. I was a little kid when Jordan played. I don't buy this idea that people my age and younger, free agent superstars, don't want to go follow the Michael Jordan footsteps. That is just, I don't buy that for a second. They have to find a way to... Even the players that demand trades, they say where they want to go.
Not only that, Bobby, the league loves the city. That's the thing. Yeah. NBA players love Chicago. They just don't like the Bulls. That's what even drives it home even more. They can't wait to get here as visitors. They can't wait to spend an extra day here. They love the town. They don't like the franchise.
And that is not going to change until... I don't know what it's going to take to change, but I don't think building a roster of attractable, good, decent players is going to get these superstars to – they look at – it's just not even a reality. They're irrelevant in the NBA. And last night cemented it because Zion is a once-in-a-generation guy.
It just – it felt just – I put the video up there. They wanted us to do a video real-time reaction from the couch, and my daughter was kind enough to shoot the video, and it's just – And my son looks at me and goes, this is trash. Like, yeah, I can't argue with you.
My favorite part was when you, you asked him, who do you like at 7? And the kid goes, at 7? Yeah. Like, there's, yeah, like there's, it's the Zion draft. That's it. It's Zion.
It's like two, like John Morant. You could say, okay, John Morant, you know?
Kind of. Yeah. It's like there's the first round for a pick, and then you get to the compensatory picks for one pick, and then the second round really starts at the third pick. That's how this draft feels to everybody who looks at the damn thing.
Southside, here's Mike on the score. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. You know, you keep hearing about free agents don't want to come to Chicago, okay? But why is it that they don't want to come to Chicago? What is it? I mean, we have to do something to change the scenario. Is it going to take somebody coming in here from the old championship teams and do a mere couple to the whole NBA and say, hey, we are a different organization now? Does Jerry Reinsdorf have to step back? Something has to change, man. You know what I mean? Something has to bring free agents in here, and you got to do something different. The whole thing about free agents are not coming here. They like the city. Okay. Well, what has to change is what I'm asking. What do we have to do? Bring Scottie Pippen. People laugh at that when I say bring Scottie Pippen in, or bring somebody from the championship team in with another GM and reach out to the NBA and say, hey, the Chicago Bulls are different. We have to do something different, man.
Well, one thing they could have done was hire a coach who's respected around the league for his tactical chops and his player relations. That's one thing that is in your control, and you can do that.
They did hire an assistant who's respected around the league for his offensive chops.
But he's an assistant.
Right. That's a thing that they've done. I wouldn't call that a full embrace of the modern NBA, and I really do worry that Jim Boylan's tendencies of throwing it down to the post and getting twos for twos' sake and kind of – not forsaking three-pointers, but certainly not valuing them as much as the four teams that are left in the NBA right now. That worries me. That worries me quite a bit, because if you've got one tendency here, at least offensively for Jim Boylan so far, that's the one that he's gone back to most often.
You also can't unring the bell of his first week, because that got around the league.
What bell? The little mutiny bell?
That got in the bloodstream, the player mutiny thing. That is baked into league perception, period.
Right or wrong.
You cannot undo that.
Even if he champions, even if he gets guys to champion his cause and flips the whole thing around, it will take time for other players to understand that that's the case. The first impression lasts, and it was a rough one.
When we looked in the player poll that The Athletic did, they did the anonymous player poll, Jim Boylan was the top-ranked coach, the top-ranked currently employed coach, for the guy for whom players didn't want to play. That matters. Mm-hmm. That's real. The only guy above him is the currently unemployed Tom Thibodeau.
Right.
He's employed, just not employed as a coach. So that matters. And they extended him. They publicly embraced and doubled down full bore on a guy who was voted the coach that nobody wants to play for. That's part of it. That's in their control. That's on them. Whatever you say about him, whatever you like, what you like, what you don't like, that's there. That data exists. We have Vincent Goodwill joining us at the top of the hour, and we've got more phone calls lined up. We are getting your reaction, just commiserating on another perfectly Bulls night. Also, some baseball to get to. The Cubs were a winner. Kyle Hendricks is becoming just a warlock
out
there.
What a stretch he's been on.
He's something. Yep. And with the bat and with the ball in his hand, he's just been brilliant. And he's baseball porn when he's got it going. when he's just working guys over,
yep,
making guys just yell at
Jesse
themselves.
Winker to sleep last night in the seventh. Yep. That was a brutal AB for the kid.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about that as well today on Sports Radio 670. You've got Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
That was NBC Sports Chicago's draft party. Where were they? There was a local establishment. Who's the woman screaming in the back?
She did not want number 7, tell you that much.
Is it the shrieking woman from Northwestern? I'm sorry, I forgot her name. The Shrieker?
Aaron something? I can't remember what it was. Yeah, that was hers.
Listen, play that again. Listen, you hear the guy go, oh, but it's somebody in the back is shrieking as if she's being murdered. We are all that woman.
Hope was murdered last night.
Yes, that's right.
It's like a CSI line.
No, Jay's wife is much more of a hockey person.
Yeah, that was just, it's so meh. It's so Bulls. And it's like you feel, if you're a longtime Bulls fan, any of us, you almost feel like you deserve it.
You almost feel like
that's what you get. That's what you get for caring about this. That's what you get for and they're doing it again. They're doing another try hard thing, like a half rebuild of guys you like from big programs, and we're gonna try hard.
They have to do, as a Bulls fan, you have to do this glass ceiling thing. You have to do this cognitive dissonance thing. You have to understand that there are a number of things about the franchise that you'd like to change, whether it's a decision-making process, the ability to sign big-name free agents, management, any of that stuff. You'd like to change, but you know it's not changing. You know those things aren't changing. So you have to look up at success in the Eastern Conference. You see the glass ceiling. Not only is it glass, but it's like it's wet and on fire at the same time, something. Somehow, I don't know how, but it is. And you're not breaking through that. I mean, that's where things are set. You've got a 7 seed if things turn out perfectly last night. I had to ask you a question, though. See what you think about this.
Okay.
So last night, you've got David Griffin's lucky tie, right? Winning the fourth, winning for the fourth time, the number one overall pick. He's got the little, you know, angel with a cross and all. Everybody had their good luck charms, right? Everybody had something up there on stage that meant a lot to the franchise, or some season ticket holders or something.
It's like the poker players that have the little thing they set on top of their chips.
And that's great. I don't mean to denigrate the stories of anyone who brought urns of family members or anything like that. But then,
an enormous urn, a Grecian
the
urn.
The entire thing. This is the whole thing. That means that there are like 6 or 7 franchises that brought lucky things to the draft lottery that didn't work.
Right.
And I need to know what those things are. I need to know what happened for the Knicks to not win the number one. Like, did they think they had a piece of the true cross that they were ready to bring to the draft? Like, now we got to look into the certificate of authenticity because it might not have actually been a real piece.
Don't we have to consult Herb on this? Because I think Herb Lawrence is the Scores resident expert on sports superstition.
Oh, he's very superstitious.
Right?
Yes.
He had a movie like during Illinois basketball games, which is already funny, that he moves the remote around to certain places to affect certain outcomes.
My favorite is when I think they were doing their stadium tour that they do that like Herb and Brendan and Tanny do every summer.
Right.
They were in Detroit. And whoever was on the mound for the Sox was pitching well. The guys wanted to go look around the stadium. Herb said no. They go anyway. And he said, fine, this is on your fan ERA.
Fan ERA.
Yeah,
okay.
All right. Yeah, you changed the lineup there, and it's going to be on you. I think somebody brought the relative of something, or just like a keepsake or a necklace from some ancient.
They brought Frankie Pentangeli's brother all the way from Sicily,
and it didn't work. Like I need to know. I need somebody at the Athletic. I need like Chris Herring to do like the long form deep dive into all of the ancient relics that NBA franchises brought to the NBA draft lottery that didn't work.
The Bulls brought Horace Grant as their ancient relic.
No.
Which is perfect, because didn't he crap on the organization when he left it?
Oh, completely.
Maybe a little.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the fist pumps when Orlando knocked him out. Remember all that stuff?
I'm not putting that on Horace. That didn't feel like a Horace thing to me. That felt worse than, you know, not, you couldn't just bring Horace Grant to the NBA draft lottery and slip to 7. That felt a lot bigger than that.
Are you questioning the value, the spiritual value of Horace Grant talisman?
Was he wearing like some lucky undershirt or something? Was he wearing shorts from back in the 90s?
Didn't Krause have the lucky pennies? Is that what he had? Was that the Elton brand?
That was actually the basketball operations budget.
I think it's the lucky pastries.
He shook them, and it was just a very jiggly
So much jiggling.
You know, the lucky bear claws in his pocket or something.
What, lodged what, in the lining where, of my heart.
Where are the it's lucky like bear claws?
Oh, God. Were those,
Jerry,
were those the one for the draft?
Jerry, you ate the lucky bear claws again. Sorry, I didn't mean to do it. What was my plan?
You get Michael. Oh, all right, cool. Just keep eating.
I don't know. We laugh to keep from crying.
Yeah, because now what's going to happen? We'll listen to we got Vincent Goodwill coming up at 10 o'clock. We'll
there.
Talk to him
he
about the draft, about being there. He saw Alvin Gentry.
Heard Alvin Gentry. Everybody did.
Everybody heard him. Yeah, dropped the whole F bomb there as he celebrated getting Zion. We'll talk to him. 11 o'clock. We'll also hear from John Paxson, who was on with Mullion Haw this morning and described his feelings after getting the 7th overall pick. One of the things he mentioned, and I think it's worth starting to talk about, is the fact that Chris Dunn, though he said, we've not given up on Chris Dunn, it really feels like they've given up on Chris Dunn.
That was an advertisement to the league. We haven't given up on trading. I mean, we haven't given up on him. Of course they have. A question from the 708 via text at 67011. How did Jamie Gertz get there? I think like airplane, probably. She owns the Hawks, so
yeah.
I mean, she's allowed to be there.
Why wouldn't she be allowed to be there? She's an owner,
right? That's kind of why.
Okay,
she knows how to get here because she's from here.
All right.
I would say it's not like it's like asking how the Derby horses get to the Kentucky
Derby.
It's not
like that at all. They can't charter a plane. They can't speak. They don't have opposable thumbs. Somebody has to get the plane for them. Yeah. Jamie probably just owns a plane.
My guess is she has a plane because she owns the Hawks and she probably owns a plane.
It's a little different.
And can get on the plane.
I did not ask that question.
Get here. All right. So Vincent Goodwill is going to give us an insider's breakdown of everything that went on last night. We're here for you. We are your shoulders to cry on today. Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.